another great interview with Eric Shupps from Binary Wave, the SharePoint cowboy.
Dave.
So tell me a little bit. How long have you had Binary Wave? What do you do with Binary Wave?
Well, we actually started Binary Wave in 2005 when the whole SharePoint portal server 2003 wave really took off in the enterprise. We've been doing independent SharePoint consulting since 2001. Back in the ugly early days.
Wow, you're a trooper. You are SCS.
I was in Tahoe. That's how long I've been around. But we really started to expand when customers started to move from the out-of-the-box intranet, put it in, punch the buttons, and started looking at this as a framework type of environment that they could develop applications on and really bring their .NET stack.
Develop on SharePoint?
I know. Frightening thought that it may be.
Especially back then.
And it was frightening back then. So we just sort of naturally fell into that niche with our development background and started doing a lot of work in the corporate and the enterprise space for app dev in the SharePoint world. And so we've just sort of grown from that.
So how has business changed or evolved since the 2003, 2001 early release to 2007? Was there a dramatic shift?
There was for us, and I think there has been in the industry as a whole, where the evolution that we've seen is in the early days, 2001 was about documents, right?
Sure.
It was about getting that stuff that you had in Exchange public folders, right, into something that was searchable and a little more manageable and dashboards.
Sure.
Right? In 2003, it was about intranets, right? So bringing people together, and we actually started to talk about and understand what collaboration was and how teams work together and how we could use software as a middleware framework to make that happen.
Sure.
But it was still primarily about get it in. There was a lot of branding and customization stuff happening back then. But there wasn't a lot of let's treat this as an application middle tier that we can move a lot of our .NET and third-party apps and things onto as a functional framework. When 2007 came along, I think there was a dramatic shift in that people started to say, wait a minute, we have this very large, robust application platform that we can utilize. We have a massive API and an SDK that we can leverage. Oh, and by the way, it's all built on .NET, so our people already understand the basic fundamentals. And all this cool stuff that comes out of the box, we can extend and start to build line of business applications, whether they're ad hoc with users just putting pieces together, maybe doing a little SharePoint designer stuff or what have you, or whether they're full-blown development efforts on top of the platform. So for us, there was a really big change as it moved from 2003 to 2007, and customers really started to get it.
Wow. So are there any customers that you can share that you've done work with? Any customer references?
We've done quite a bit of work here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as well as around the world. We also have an office in the UK, so we do some work over there. And we've done some pretty neat projects for some of those. So, for example, an architectural engineering firm here in Fort Worth, Carter & Burgess, who was bought by Jacobs Engineering, I believe. We came in and did a full-blown intranet implementation for them, which was at its beginning just a standard out-of-the-box, we're going to customize it, look and feel type of intranet. But as they started to get this whole wave of building applications on top of it, they started to build hooks into their SAP system. They actually customized the search framework, so when you entered a search term in the SharePoint search, it actually pulled information out of PeopleSoft and returned it in the search framework in a custom set of web parts, right, which really opened things up
for
the user base. Then they started to develop things like simple stuff like employee leave, right? Managing your leave and vacation time and that sort of stuff, right? That in the past would have been a .NET application that they just built a couple web parts for. And then managers wanted to see their employee leaves, and so it sort of blossomed into this whole thing. And then IT was really proactive in that organization to looking at the portal and saying, let's make this a window into everything that IT is doing for the organization. And they started to build dashboards for all their ticketing. You could go in and submit requests and it back into their system. You could see the status and all that sort of stuff. And the application delivery was so rapid because they already had the framework. They already had developers on staff who'd gone through this 6 or 7 month period of launching the portal. So they were starting to think SharePoint and they could get it maybe where to use a web part or where to use an event receiver and that sort of stuff. And it really morphed into this living, breathing sort of corporate entity that everybody said, If a new initiative came along, let's plug that into SharePoint, right? Or how do we do that with SharePoint?
In TechEd, you recently were on a panel and also did a talk at TechEd.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what was that talk on? I know, but I want to tell that.
So one of the things that I try to focus a lot on is helping .NET developers move into the SharePoint space and try and help them to understand that it's no longer about this little sandbox that you own and that you can control and everything happens on your dev machine and then eventually you just push it out to some server somewhere, right? You're now working as part of a framework. And just like it was really difficult when ASP came along, right, for us to change it, people forget all the struggles we had with COM and COM Plus and all that stuff that we went through.
No, we blocked it out.
it was difficult, not because the technology was so hard, but because it was a different way of thinking. We were now interacting with the server at a level that we'd never done before. And SharePoint is much the same way, but there's a resistance to say, here's this big black SharePoint box, right? We know how to do what we do over here. This thing is a mystery to us, and so we don't want to mess with it, right? And what I try and do is break down that gap and say, yes, SharePoint is this big monster, but let's pull the layers of the onion apart. And let's look at the core things that you need to know to make to build enterprise applications in SharePoint. And a large part of that is performance. Whenever you're working with a big application framework, you have to bear in mind all the other things that this big beast is doing that beyond behind the scenes, and your code is just a little tiny snippet of it over here, right? And so I try and walk folks through some of the gotchas, some of the best practices. How can you start from a code base that's scalable and not just blindly follow, say, an example in the SDK that someone just wrote just an example of how to do something, but not necessarily the right way to do something, right? How do you work with lists that have millions of objects in them, right?
You can't have more than 2,000?
That's the rumor.
But we know that's because of the view, right?
For the record, the recommended limit is 5 million items per list. So I try and show people how you can programmatically overcome some of the ways that the code was structured out of the box to deliver that very rich UI experience that SharePoint has. Because let's face it, SharePoint is all about users doing things themselves, right? And when you approach it from that perspective, you make some decisions about how you build your underlying architecture that you probably wouldn't do if programmability was your primary focus, right? So the things that frustrate .NET developers when they come in to working with SharePoint is the way the API works, the underlying structured data. Sometimes things are slow for no particular reason, and it's all about understanding how to overcome that. So my talks primarily focus on those types of issues and how to show code examples. I mean, we try and have a good time, but they're 400-plus level sessions. I mean, we're really going into deep and looking at the code. I tell the admins at the beginning to get out. You're not welcome here.
Right? We're developers here.
Yeah. But it's all about making them a little bit more comfortable,
sure,
with approaching this thing we call SharePoint.
So making developers comfortable. A lot of what developers are perceiving their comfort level is that we support tooling, test-driven development, Agile, XP, Scrum. And so a lot of developers are coming at SharePoint with the notion of, oh, well, I can't do all my regular develop. I mean, there was a myth for a long time that you couldn't even do application lifecycle management with SharePoint. So help me understand a little bit. You are involved in a very visible thread about unit testing and test-driven development in SharePoint. So help us understand, what is your perspective, for the record, outside of your blog post? Help us understand, where do you sit with, can you do, all right, let's sum the question up. Can you do unit testing with SharePoint?
Absolutely you can. There's nothing you can't do in a typical lifecycle development project in .NET or any other language that you can't do in SharePoint.
So that means, like, if I'm going to create a solution package, all that stuff that you store as artifacts and source control.
Absolutely. And it's understandable that there's a myth here that because the tooling has been slow to catch up with the API itself, developers have had to do a lot of things on their own, and they're very difficult and time-consuming and manual, and there's lots of stopgap measures, things like STS Dev and WSP Builder and Visual Studio extensions for SharePoint. So there's all these different pieces, and it's .NET developers have sort of gotten into this mindset that if it's not in a wizard in Visual Studio, right, then I don't need it. which is fine.
What's the low barrier for an F5 experience, right? If I can hit F5, everything works, therefore right. I will use this technology.
Right. The problem is that F5 is not the be-all end all. It is when you're working in a sandbox, but it's not true when you're working inside of a framework.
Sure.
So here's the issues from a lifecycle development standpoint, right? First of all, I have huge issues with saying with test-driven and development or test-driven design in the same sentence, right? Testing is part of the SDLC. It is not the application lifecycle itself, right? And if anybody who's using code to document code, right, or code to design code, right, is making a huge mistake.
Oh, there's a guy down in Fort Worth right now that is vomiting out of the side.
I know. and for a lot more on this in SharePoint, you can listen to the SharePoint Pod Show that Andrew Woodward and I did on this topic. But the concept is to use these methodologies where they make sense. Unit testing has a tremendous amount of value, right? The problem in SharePoint is that unit testing has a lower payoff than integration testing, because you're plugging everything into a framework, right? When you're testing in isolation, it's okay to say, here's my code A, here's my method, I'm going to test against my method, it returns this, done, right?
Sure.
And then I can ship that with high confidence that it works. But in SharePoint, you can't test all that because you're invoking objects that are live within the system.
List, SP context,
SP web,
yeah.
Right? All these different things that you're invoking that are sealed entities inside the framework that respond differently based on context and how you're invoking them and user privilege. There's all these mutable things that happen. So if we focus everything on unit testing, or focus a tremendous amount of our effort on unit testing as we have in the past, we're going to get a frustrated developer because they think everything went green, my code is bulletproof. They deploy it, and it doesn't work. SharePoint's broken. No, SharePoint's not broken, right? You're not testing within the framework, right? So what I try and guide people to do is, let's use unit testing where it makes the most sense. That is in methods and classes that are primarily at the back-end tiers, right? So they're primarily your model, your controller pieces of your framework, right? Because we mostly control that stuff, right? Let's take things like view and presentation that we extract out, or if you want to, view and presentation, MVC or MVP, depending on which one that you're doing. Let's extract those out and set those aside and say unit testing has a low payoff on these pieces, so we're going to set that aside and save it for integration testing, right? And let's work more with our test teams to help them understand how to drive integration testing through our process. A perfect example is a solution package. How do you unit test a solution package? You can't. It's all declarative XML, right? The only way to find out if it works or not is to deploy it to the system.
Right. Sure.
It's an untestable, it's a unit, it's a granular unit, but it's untestable.
Yeah, well, I could write like something with an XML validator to validate against it, but what value is that going to be?
But you already did that.
Did it actually achieve the action?
Because you got the XSD, right? So,
sure.
Yeah, what happens when you deploy that, right?
Sure.
Feature receivers, another perfect example. Your code may look good, but when that feature is activated based on the context that it happens in,
why is item adding not firing?
Or why did it fire 10 times? Right? So these are the pieces that, not that there's anything wrong with a particular methodology, but that methodology doesn't map well onto the way that we're now doing development as part of a framework. So the problem is not the framework. The problem is the methodology. Let's change, morph, grow, expand the methodology to integrate with the framework so that we're now doing unit testing where it makes sense, integration testing where it makes sense, and UAT where it makes sense as part of the lifecycle.
So where do you see development going in the future? Where do you see opportunities for SharePoint developers? Where do you see the platform kind of evolving?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is. Open-ended, that's how
I do it. So one of the great things is that we're going to get new tooling as part of Visual Studio 2010.
Amen.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Which the beta 4 just dropped, so people can start to look at some of those integrations.
But that doesn't have the SharePoint tools in it.
It doesn't, but you'll start to see some of the various pieces that are integrated in Visual Studio VS 2010 that we're going to be able to take advantage of, certainly in the SharePoint space. So that's good. The tooling is getting better. We have things like the Visual Studio extensions and SDS Dev and WSP Builder that people can use now, which are great, depending on how you work. Some work better than others. A lot of people like to get started with the VSC WSS and then move on to doing their own customized solutions and build scripts and stuff, and that's fantastic. We're moving to a point that the API is getting better at the way that it integrates with our development environment. So we found in 2008 where we have workflow samples that we can have five deploy, right? That's great stuff. That's bringing the framework together with the development tools, right? That will get better as we move forward. I think that .NET developers should really expect to see a more ASP.NET type of development experience with SharePoint going forward, so that you'll have things like be able to pick artifacts out of a SharePoint architecture and say, I want this list and I want to create a declarative list instance out of this and featureize it. That'll be a one-click sort of thing, right? Or here's a content type, pick it, make it into a feature, pulls all the site columns and does all that stuff for you. So those things are going to get better, so that the real pain points of writing all this XML and having to hardwire all this stuff together will go away. But more importantly, I think that people are going to start to see that Agile, Scrum, XP, all these methodologies that we're using to drive better quality, which is at the end of the day is what it's all really all about, so right, higher quality, fewer bugs, map very well into a SharePoint environment when the tooling is there to support it. So I think that developer experience gets better. I also think developers are going to be really jazzed about being able to develop modular solutions on top of the framework that are a little bit more plug-and-play than they have been in the past, and be able to really take, say, legacy .NET applications and convert them sort of en masse to SharePoint without a whole lot of brain damage in the process of making that happen.
So by virtue of having the tooling available in Visual Studio 2010, that's going to make it available. Hopefully adoption will grow off that, but also just familiarity and also having the tools more accessible with less pain around having to handwrite your own XML, having to download the CAB installer SDK and run a make CAB and then renaming anything or doing any wonky stuff like that. Or having to go use VSC WSS and going against some of its quirks, or having to learn WSP Builder, which kind of assumes you already know about those quirks.
Correct.
So hopefully having Visual Studio will ease that curve a little bit.
Absolutely.